Firmino. Bobby Firmino. Bobby Firmino. Bobby Firmino. Bobby Firmino, Firmino.
Don't you know, don't you know.
Bobby Firmino, Firmino. It's banging in the bunker tonight. It's the Day Trippers, come on! Yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh wonderful, yes. 4-1 against City in the City of Manchester Stadium. Don't mind those cheap advertisements that's going on. And we are back in the bunker after taking a week off and we're rested and we're ready to go again. Well, what can we say? We can say plenty about that match, that wondrous, wondrous game where we had our Brazilian magicians all on show. We had everything going on. We even had wonder saves from Mignolet. And not to mention the incredible Martin Skrtel volley to wrap it all up. It's going to be a good one tonight. In the bunker tonight, joining me tonight, I've got Paul Brennan as ever. I've also got Andy Young back in to take over Trippers Chats. And of course, we have Trevor Francis himself, Mr. Neil Gray. The last time you heard from him, he didn't give a gee in Germany, but he's back with us tonight. So boys, it's the City match. Come on! Right, man, we're buzzing. 4-1 City. Great feeling, isn't it? Paul?
Yeah.
Grand. Andy?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what to say when there's nothing to give out about. It was just amazing. Right, no, just cut it there. That's it.
Trivia chats. Nilo?
Yeah.
Buzzing?
Ah, Jesus. Yeah, it's playing deadly, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the most Dublin I can get in 30 seconds as well. Playing deadly. And it was deadly. I loved every minute of it.
I'd say it's probably the best performance I've seen since we smashed Arsenal at Anfield 5-1
in the 13-14 season, or
yeah,
whatever fucking year it was.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Probably even better than that.
Yeah,
like when we beat Chelsea a few weeks ago, it mirrored them sort of performances in that run in 13-14 when we beat City at home, and like we just dominated them from the start of the game. So it's just great to think that we can reproduce that now again, and it's all fresh and things are looking up again.
Yeah.
The transformation in them players in the space of a couple of weeks is phenomenal. I don't know whether that's a reflection on a manager or a reflection on that professional footballers are inherently wankers. Do you know what I mean? Like, because they can't do it. They just didn't want to bother doing it for Rodgers, obviously. Well, but to see them doing it now, just because they buy into something that their superior is telling them to do, but as professionals they should be doing anyway. I question their ethics.
So we found something to complain about.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to put like a finger on. I think we all knew, most like rational Liverpool fans knew, that was a good squad that Rodgers had assembled, and we weren't a hell of a long way about, you know. Okay, without Suarez, but pretty much everyone else was there, and there's been improvements brought in. So
that was the consensus at the start of the season here, Andy, wasn't it? That it's a good squad, that it's top four squad.
And look, I felt that Rodgers might have actually went back to his ways of just saying, well, this is it now, like, you know, let's go down fighting if I'm going to get sacked here. But he continued on from last season, that protection mode. But now it's like the players are allowed to express themselves again. They've got a plan again. They're enjoying their football again. I don't think it's a really poor reflection against them. I don't think it's a hugely poor reflection against Rodgers either. Like, things go stale, like, you know, these things happen in football.
You're saying they're allowed to go and express themselves. They're allowed to go and express themselves once they do the hard part first. Do you know what I mean? Which is the gag and press and shit.
You mean the Mugen?
Oh, sorry, yeah. Mugen. So do you want to put an edit mark in there?
No, I'll just flag that
there, yeah. No, I agree with what you're saying, Andy, that things did go a little bit stale. But listen, it's just something that crossed my mind, that why couldn't they do it 6 weeks
ago? But let's look at the opposite side of what you said. You know, is there not
the sense that there's an identity in the way we're playing now. It's like we're talking about
a sense of purpose, like
the mooch and the whole lot that goes on with it. You know, you're looking at a manager who has a definite style in the way he wants to play football, and you can see that as the weeks have gone on since he's been here, that team has progressively gotten better and better, and it's becoming more automatic in the way he's playing. And something he said in the interview as well, that he had because of everything that's gone on, and because some of the teams weren't playing and the players weren't playing, he had a lot more players on the training ground for 10 days before that match. So Andy, like, should we not be, and we should be, in my opinion anyway, giving Klopp a lot more, giving him most of the credit for turning this thing around in terms of the way the team is responding and the way they're playing now, because it's different to the way we were before?
Yes, of course, it's all him. Like, you know, it's all him. I mean, credit to Rodgers for bringing all them players in, because they obviously have ability, and then the full credit for getting that potential out of them and for actually probably performing over, exceeding their level to Klopp. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, you know, we're kind of pinching ourselves here that we've landed such a great manager, and like things are looking up, like, and hopefully long may it last.
Yeah, Paul, taking it on and looking at it, like, you know, there seems to be, in the three lads that started up front, and I know we weren't playing with a recognised centre forward, but they're starting to become a very functional attacking triumvirate, really, aren't they? Even without a recognised centre forward, like Firmino, that was really a breakout performance from him.
I think like at the end of the season, I think we'll be looking back at this game as like the moment when he properly landed, like, and I think he's going to properly kick on from here. Yeah, but the three of them, like there's so much movement, and like they can interchange so well, like whether they're getting the ball kind of, whether we're on the break and they're getting the ball first 40 yards from goal, or whatever, we're up at the other box and they're still swarming all around. It's like City. Like, it was something else to kind of see. Like, the belief from the first minute, like, that we were absolutely going to trounce them. Like, we're all over them with the ball and without the ball. It was brilliant. Bar 15 minutes after half time, when City changed it up a bit, they kind of got a little bit of a foothold in the game. But other than that, it was just us swarming after them. And like, they're the title favourites, like, so it's completely unrecognisable to what it was. And like, Lallana, Coutinho and Firmino, like, the three of them were just brilliant, like, and then like we didn't have a recognised striker, but I think we'll see Firmino playing that a few times, because Sturridge will get injured, and Benteke probably will as well. But I think, like, even if everyone's fit, there'll be games where Klopp kind of says, no, I'll play Firmino up there, play the three of them up there together, like.
Andy, on Firmino, I don't know if it was just me or maybe it was the few beers I was having watching the match, but there was definite reminiscence of Suarez and the way he was playing, the way he was so aggressively, like, going at the centre backs and the full backs out of possession.
And a bit like Suarez in his first kind of half season, when he was missing a few chances as well.
Yeah.
Like, you'd fancy Firmino or any player to score two of them.
Really
good chances. And but you, like, I mean, that movement to be there and to, he was involved in the build up to both. That'll come, you know, and when the goals start coming, like, that's, he's going to be an incredible player.
His touches are lovely, aren't they? Like, that's, there's so much of him that reminds me about the way Suarez plays. And I'm not saying he's at Suarez's level, let's say, in terms of a finisher or whatever, but like, he is definitely a class footballer. And you can even see, I know we'll talk about the goals, but the pass for Coutinho's goal is sensational. It's a slight glance to see the runs happening and exactly where it needs to go, it goes there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Coutinho can get onto that ball if it's put anywhere else. Like, if it's put too close to the defenders, they get the clearance on. If it's put too far ahead, then Hart's going to get it, isn't he?
There's a gap of 18 inches there. He had to get that ball into, like, and it was right bang on where it needed to be.
Yeah. So, and look at the city defense, like Mangala and Di Michelis, they're awful. And I don't know how many times you watch Liverpool when they've come up against a bad defense and he didn't capitalize. They, like, Liverpool smell blood there, like, and fucking delighted, like, that they can that they were able to produce that, you know. Could have been any score.
Nilo, do you want to just say anything about Firmino? Because, like, it was the Firmino show, really.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I think rather about the three of them rather than just him on his own. I think what the difference is, when Suarez was there, he was leading by example. But from the first minute, everybody bought into the whole, we're all going to press together. And so there's a master. So the front three, speaking specifically about the front three, you have to inherently trust the other two guys you're playing with. If you're going to go and press that, if it goes, the ball goes sideways, they're going to go as well. Mm-hmm. So like they all trusted each other implicitly. And they all, the ethos the manager was putting through, they all bought into that immediately. So when you have everybody in it together, it's easy. Rather than the difference I could see with the whole, with the 13-14 thing, Suarez was leading by example, where this time around everybody was at it from the first whistle, you know what I mean?
One of the things Klopp said, Paul, was that he had to say to Firmino a couple of times in the first half to get back up front. He said he's never had to tell a player to get back up front. It seems to be that he has a really good handle on these players and where he wants them to be on the pitch. Like,
yeah, like he seems like someone who, like, if you're not doing your job, like, he's gonna tell you. Mm. Like, you're not gonna see the same players going out doing the same shite every week and getting away with it. That's because, like, you can tell he loves the players and, like, he really rates a lot of them. But, like, he was eating can as well during the match. Mm. Like, you could see, like, you can see him going absolutely flipping his lid when it's not going the way he wants, which is what you want, basically. Mm. And that's one of the kind of problems you will get playing for me, you know, up top, is that, like, his natural inclination will be to drop deep and get on the ball. But, like, when he does it at the right time, it's what kind of opens the other team up as well.
Mm-hmm. I say you love this quote about Chan, that if you haven't got the legs to get back after you've gone forward, don't go forward.
I didn't hear that. Did he say that? Yeah,
he was. Oh yeah, if you haven't got the legs to go forward, then you don't go forward. Because they were asking him, I think it was on NBC, and they were saying to him, you know, you seem to be giving Emery Chan a right bollocking in the second half.
Yeah,
there was another quote that was brilliant. It says, because they were saying, oh, was that a perfect performance? Says, no, it's not. It wasn't perfect. There was lots of problems that was there.
Yeah, he had to go to defence. I mean,
I think he mentioned that a few times, like in every interview, you know. The BBC one, the Sky one, then the post-match conference, he said it wasn't perfect. You know, like, he wanted to really get it out there that, listen, you've done well here, but the next game, and we expect improvements again, which is brilliant.
Like, it's remarkable to hear that one of the major problems he sees in the whole squad is belief, and they need to believe how good. I don't know whether that's getting them... It's a psychological thing, obviously, isn't it, that them to believe that they're better than they are. I mean, it's just that you're going to win before you even go out there. But he was pushing that through. When we were 3-0 up, we fell back. But his point of view was we should have kept going and going and going. We didn't believe, we couldn't handle the fact that we were 3-0 up. You know what I mean? So rather than him slagging off their abilities at all, he's saying it's belief and all, and they're buying into that big time, aren't they?
Yeah, I suppose there was one quote that he swore he was giving out about towards the end of the game. And that the defence weren't giving Mignolet enough options when the ball went back to him. Is that something like...
He's a good footballer.
No, yeah. He said he's a good footballer, but if you keep giving it back, he'll shit himself.
I saw that when they had to bleed that beats from out again. Like, if you don't give him the options, he gives a shit pass. Or something like that.
Fair play. Well, no, like, so... I suppose what you said, yeah, look, there are lots of positive things, but there was a couple of negative things. So, Paul, James Milner.
I didn't think he was bad at all.
It was one of his bad.
What are you typing up here?
Nothing.
He was
No, it wasn't that. Like, he hasn't been my favourite player all season, but that's one of his better games, I thought. He cut out most of the stupid fouls. Obviously, like, he's not as gifted as the rest of the players, and that kind of sticks out like a sore thumb sometimes. But I thought he was okay, did a kind of functional role. But he did like what was asked of him, like what you'd expect of him every week, whereas in previous weeks, I don't think he was even doing that.
Well, really. His best true ball sent one of the City players through.
Yeah, well, that was... Here, listen, Gerrard did that 3 times every season, though. Like, you can't just give out to Milner about that. I thought he was decent enough.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't think there was anyone that was that bad.
I think the whole team were fucking damn good. You know, I wouldn't criticise any. Actually, Klein was pretty poor.
Do you think so?
Yeah, on the ball, like, he was pretty poor.
I thought he was solid enough, though.
Early on, I think he was pretty poor on the ball.
I was putting my hair out with Skirtle. I know we get on to him because we'll deal with Skirtle himself. But like, I thought defensively, again, sixes and sevens in terms of what was going on. And, you know, you're always worried about him and Lovren as a centre back pairing.
Yeah, but for Skirtle to defend quite high up the pitch, like, so kind of effectively, like, you know, they defended quite high up the pitch and they kept them out and they didn't let too many balls in behind.
Yeah, I suppose so. But anyway, moving on to Lucas and Chan in the centre midfield. Happy enough, Nilo?
Oh, Jesus, yeah, but you can't complain, can you?
Like, you can't, no.
No.
You could if you wanted, like.
I don't want to because I tried to criticise the professional ethics earlier on and I got jumped on something. Listen, Lucas, his rebirth is unreal, isn't it? Like, you have to give the bloke credit because he gets caned up till for everything he does nearly, but to criticise him now would be just madness.
There was, I suppose.
I thought he was a bit swampy for the goal, but other than that, I thought he was solid.
I think
he was on a yellow. I think he didn't even have to commit a yellow card foul there. But he's afraid any sort of touch here is liable to be. If he's not in the yellow there, he's able to put a little bit extra on top of Aguero to knock him off balance. Doesn't necessarily have to pull him down. But
the problem I had with him though was when Aguero first got the ball and started running, Lucas kind of looks at him for about three paces, and like you know, Lucas isn't going to catch him anyway. So Lucas has to be kind of like on top of it, getting back quicker. I thought like Aguero took a few paces forward.
To remember who it is, it's Aguero as well. Like, you know, he's super, isn't he?
Listen, fuck off, everyone, right? Fucking professional ethics.
But all in all, they go, okay, Lucas was the kind of the defensive midfielder on his own, and then Milner and Chan either side of him offering all that cover. And I thought the both of them offered that cover brilliantly, that Lucas didn't have to get pulled away over there too often. And they controlled the midfield, like, you know what I mean?
I know.
Some good players in that fucking City in the centre of the park.
City didn't have... There wasn't many tactics you could look at the same. This is what City are trying. But one of the things was, if Moreno went forward, Navas went back to with him, and De Bruyne just followed out to the right wing. And like that's where they looked to counter-attack all the time in the first half. And I thought Lucas and Chan, there was always one of them back to help out Lovren.
They dealt with De Bruyne. He's a quality player. His delivery is just out of this world is delivery. But they dealt with him quite well, and they dealt very, very good well with Sterling as well for the whole game.
We'll come on to Sterling in a bit. But let's deal with some of the individual moments. So we'll talk about the goals first. The first goal, quality finish by Mangala, wasn't it?
What was he doing?
it was like he had three legs.
No, I think when I watched him, the only thing that I thought on the replay is that he goes to play it out for the corner, and it hits the inside of his heel. And it goes back towards the goal because the sort of direction it goes.
You could see. You could see the way his body was shaped up, like he was shaped up to just pass it out of play. But like, you are slating your player. You know, if he does that. And you know, he's an okay player, and Sagan's been doing well at fullback, and he was disgraceful for the goal as well. So,
but like, let's look at that because the build up play in it for I know he obviously Mangala puts it in, but like the build up play is fucking great. Like, it starts with the pressing down the left.
Yeah, Coutinho smashing Sagna.
Coutinho, the way he chased back, it's what you expect, but to do it so effectively, like he just. Biting his ankles, and he absolutely shit himself. Under that pressure, because it wasn't just Coutinho running after him. He was boxed into the corner. The touchline was defending him that way. Coutinho was defending from going back, and then Moreno was closing in, and Chan was coming across. Like, it was just bollocks. And he didn't know what to do. And after he loses the ball, so you're forced a mistake with all this pressing.
Then the touches and the passes are lovely, aren't they?
Yeah,
and
slick.
Yeah,
they all nearly look the same. The goals I saw, they're all kind of a bit mixed. So I watched the match back today, and all the goals are still a bit mixed up in my head because it's all just like win the ball back and boom, boom, boom around their box and a finish. It's just all brilliant.
And the same with all the other chances they created as well. Yeah. It was all very, very slick.
But even the Coutinho goal, like the forcing the error again,
like what you said about Firmino being there's a touch of Suarez about him. That's like what Suarez did. If he saw a ball bouncing. Centre back, he said, like, all right, I'll see how you deal with this. The two of them went in for it, and Firmino came out with it. And the way, like, he takes a nice kind of touch, like, you can see his next touch is kind of dictated by, I'm going to take collar off out of the game now. And then he kind of takes it out wide and puts it back across the tree to Coutinho. Yeah. It was ridiculous stuff, like, he's absolutely smashing.
Yeah.
And then Firmino's goal.
Yeah.
That's the back heel and all.
I'm still trying to register what happened for that goal.
Chance back heel. Chance back heel was obviously intended for Firmino's run. Because he kind of doesn't really know where Coutinho
is. I was wondering who was going to say
Well, of course it is. But it doesn't matter. Like, when you're in that position on the pitch, like, the player that gets the ball back in and outwits the defence, doesn't really matter who it was for. Nah. It still puts the ball in behind into all that space. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter who picks up on it. He knows that defence are obviously going to be following him out.
Yeah.
And Liverpool, they timed their two runs in on top, and both them players wanted that so much.
Yeah.
And just between them, they said, it doesn't really matter which one of the scores here, it's going just stick that ball in there.
And even the finish itself, I know Coutinho plays a lovely ball into him, right? But I think that he holds the run just perfectly, because if he takes an extra step, he's offside.
You
know what I mean? The ball is going
didn't full. Blow his beans.
And then the finish. Like, he doesn't try to blast or whatever. It's like a little roller into the net. Yeah. It's dead.
Don't tell me your fucking arsehole wasn't puckering up when you hit it. Like, you're like, is there someone getting back?
Oh, no.
I shot me. I thought he'd mishit that first or something.
I don't know. They were so devastating. Like, you know, that was just so punishing. You know, like, they exploited their defence frailty so much. Like, there was acres of space. And I know Gary Neville kept saying it during commentary, but you could see it was so obvious. Like, absolutely there for the taking, but a less ballsy team.
But it was repeated so many times. Like, think of all the chances we had in the first half. Yeah. I know when we conceded the equaliser, it seemed like such a kick in the stones, even though we were 3-1 up at the time, because we could have been 5-6-0 up at that stage.
It should have been 5-0 probably.
All them little flicks and volleys over players' heads and all that. Like, you know, it was just on my feet, like, just going, yes, we're back. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, how often did you enjoy Liverpool last season? not at all. Probably Spurs early on. But, like, that's just, like, that's what you're watching football for, isn't it? Like, that sort of stuff. You know, obviously, results are the most important thing, and it doesn't really matter how you get them. But when your team is doing that, and it's producing that, and I mean, that's the only way you're going to get this atmosphere back in Anfield and to make this, create this culture that Klopp wants and for everyone to stay to the end to see something. Because you don't want to miss even that.
And that team just kept going, which is brilliant to see.
Yeah.
I suppose then, looking at the goal itself that we conceded, it was a crazy attempted pass by Skirtle that gets us into trouble in the first place.
Miguel Flower Martin Skirtle.
I'll dink this chip up. You bury the fucking thing into Rose.
It's a mad decision. If he's going to go out that wide for the ball, like, you're sure of where it's going. Like, you're sure of where your pass is going, or else it's not a pass, it's a clearance.
Yeah.
You don't just dink it down the line like that.
Especially with two minutes and a half.
Like, you do that if you've been Teke there or something like that, who's you just have to play the ball in towards him.
Yeah.
And he's gonna be battering fellas off from anyone that comes in. But not when you've three live players up there. Like, you mean you can't be picking balls.
I think, in fairness, he didn't mean to do that. I think, in fairness, he did mean to clear his lines. Like, he just made a mistake. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Neil.
I think it was a pass with purpose, and
I don't think so. I don't, like, he's not. He can't be completely stupid.
I just kept thinking 2 minutes to half time. Yeah. Take no chances here. 3-0 up. You go in that 3-0. If you concede a goal. Now, in fairness to Aguero, he has so much to do to score that goal anyway. Like, you know, it's not like he's gone straight through on goal.
If it lands at any other cunt in the league,
exactly. There is that. But I think the most important point about conceding the goal is how we reacted afterwards. Like, we're still, it would never look like City were going to get back into the game. And it looked like if they did, we had push on again and we could get. I disagree
with you there in a sense, because
shitting me bags after they scored.
After the goal. And the start of the second half, I thought we had a poor start to the second half.
Because
you know, we give away that chance. And I'll say this thing about Mignolet. You know, everyone will rave about the save with the one hand that he makes from the second thing. Mm. But the fact that he stood up so long, that forces the City player wide instead of making up the City player's mind from, so he has to go back across the goal. That creates the opportunity to make the save in the first instance.
Lovren got back around them as well at that step.
He was heading that clear as well. Yeah. There was a few let-offs. There was a ball across towards Sterling, and Sterling gets caught in his heels.
Yeah.
Mm. All he had to do was get in front of, and that's going back to, like, when Sterling played as our striker for a while. It's not instinctive, like, you know, like, any sort of striker. Like, I always liked, you know, Hernandez when he was playing well for United. Like you're just in on top, like it's instinctive.
Zaggy.
Yeah. Players like that, Fowler, like you know, they're strikers and they just sniff goals out, and you know, and it's no coincidence they're always in the right position. So well, you know,
yeah.
And what I was saying though about the, I wasn't too concerned that they were going to go back into the game was because you were effectively at the end of the day we were away to see they're going to have a spell over the 90 minutes. You're not going to dominate it completely, and I was allowing it like this is their spell now. But and they didn't dominate either. But still had some chances where they were coming back.
There was
into
that
the
chance,
game.
And then the other one that stuck in my mind was it Fernando or Fernandinho or
one of them,
right underneath the post.
Oh yeah. Fernandinho, he got right under it.
Yeah, and I was just like, Jesus, it was one of those
that
moments.
That was one of the Brian's crosses, was it?
Yeah. In there, and all he had to do was do it. He could have run the ball over the line had he not tried to do what he did. But like, I suppose, all in all, though, as you said, Neil, to go to City's ground and only concede one and score four is a great bonus. And like, I suppose, thinking about Benteke when he comes on as well. That one, he seems to be running through.
I don't know what he did there.
Just slow.
He said, I'm going to hang on here, give this fella a thump in the face, and then go again.
Yeah, I think he thought he wasn't going to win, beating for pace. So he thought, let him bounce off me.
And then go.
And then he's gonna stumble, and then I'll get away from him.
It's unfortunate that was touch takes away, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a good save, in fairness.
It was a good save.
Hare played fairly well.
Yeah, he did, yeah. But it was a poor attempt of a finish, you know, like it.
You'd expect
the keeper with that sort of height and you know that type of shot, like but anyway.
But then again, so let's get on to the main event, which was Martin Skrtel's goal.
Fucking monstrous, isn't it?
If you're going to have Skrtel in the team, if there's any justification to have Skrtel in the team, he is a goal threat. He was a goal threat at one stage from set pieces.
So you're playing centre forward, as I've been saying for a long time. I've been saying it for a long time. In fairness, right, look, the corner just goes up in the air, but his adjustment on his body to get the volley away is fucking ridiculous for a centre back.
Yeah,
you know
the power in the strike as well. I was just sitting laughing at it, like, you know, watching it on replay. Like, I had to kind of go, I better watch the rest of the match. Like, it could be fucking 5-1 now. It could be like 4-2 or whatever. Like, because I was watching it that long, just laughing at it, the absolute power in it. Just like big fucking. You can imagine just going. Like, making a big stupid noise, putting everything behind it. Like if Hart had a touch that, he'd have gone into the net.
Yeah. Which Hart is only a mid dive, is the thing.
Yeah, it was passing on.
You love that because you can hear the net shaking, can't you, when it goes in? It makes that sound.
The ratchet sound.
Yeah.
That's great.
You can hear Hart saying, fuck's sake, after all the replay
was on. Was it Hart? I was wondering.
That fucking prick, that banger.
When they were showing the replay, it was on the fucking microphone. He'd obviously walk back into the net giving out stink.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's be honest about it. It's a great strike and fair play to him because that's, you know, as I said, he is.
Apart from the mistake, as we're saying it was, or whatever the fuck he did for the goal, how do you think he did apart from that over the 90 minutes?
I thought it was a bit of a cure tag, to be honest with you.
There we go.
What did you think, Paul?
I thought he was all right, yeah.
I think at times he's just scared, and look, he's not great. He's okay, and we did enough to cover his deficiencies. And then, but he did do some good things. He cleared a couple off the line. He made some good blocks, and he made the Skrtel tackle. So
yeah, but they're the type of things that, like, you know, there's not everyone hates Skrtel. Like a lot of fans really like him and really rate him. A lot of commentators and pundits and all really rate him. Because of them things, like
Paul, we were going to set him on fire if you remember Jordan the match. So it was like,
oh yeah, and remember I was a. About this time last year, I said I want them blasting to space and everyone can see him again. Yeah. He's pulled it back a bit since then, but like,
Look, he's not good enough long term. He's not good enough. Like he's out of all of them. I think he's the one that has to go. I think we're seeing promising signs from Lovren.
I was going to ask you about this. What did you think of him?
I think he was good apart from about 10 minutes. He kind of lost the plot.
That's like not good, though.
A confident Lovren that's not under pressure, that's not like confusing himself and doing things kind of out of character, is a good Lovren, you know what I mean? There was one moment where he was out there kind of misplacing a couple of passes and just being a bit too much involvement for him for a few minutes, and then the ball comes over the top. And instead of letting it drop for another half second, he can get a real kick on it. Tries to kick it over his head.
Yeah, he's a fucking like mango.
It's, You know what I mean? It's he really, really got away with that.
Fucking shit.
And it's type of moments like that. You want to see him get away with it, and then and to be pointed out to him. Listen, yeah. Have a look at yourself here.
There was one moment I remember towards the end of the second half when he got done out on the sideline, and I was going, oh, here we go. And it was 3-1 at that stage. And it was the usual way the ball gets. He's out, miles out, on the sideline.
Yeah, and that's in the first half.
The second half. Oh, it was towards the end of the second half, and he just, your man knocks the ball past him and just basically walks, and the lovering legs are going, no, he doesn't try to get back, and he's just going nowhere. He said he's running in porridge, he is, and he's fucking just, but yeah.
I thought he did well, but like there is still that kind of undertone of what we saw last season isn't completely gone. Like there's a few times, even just silly things that like didn't matter, where, you know, someone has the ball and they're standing them up and they're kind of like, they're deciding which way they're going to go, and he just sticks out this foot that goes nowhere near the ball, and you're just thinking, like, where it looks almost like, you know, like you're playing FIFA and you, like, someone's in front of you, you press left and tackle, and he does a big stand out to the side, and you're kind of like, Where was that coming from? Like, what did you think was happening there? But I thought on the whole he did fairly well.
Yeah, you still don't fancy him when he gets isolated, because we know what he can be like. But if this was sort of Lovren at the start of last season when we signed him, and kind of performances he has put in when he's been in the side this season, you'd be saying this isn't a disaster at all.
No. I did enjoy his cramp moment.
Yeah,
when he went down, it was like, it's only fucking 70 minutes
left. Fucking November.
He picked a good time to do it. Like, you know, you want to be taking the sting out of the game.
I think was Trevor Francis.
I think was it just after Aguero went off, or
yeah.
So
wasn't Trevor Francis though saying that, you know, he expected that should only happen in hot countries?
Gary Neville.
Was it Gary Neville?
How the fuck have you mixed them two up?
Talking the same though, the show basically.
Yeah, I suppose.
Anyway, so look. Anything to close off on? It was more or less covered everything there. Nothing. Okay, so we move on to the games ahead of us. Bordeaux on Thursday. Hoping to see Sturridge, Andy?
I suppose it was good that he didn't have to come on at the weekend. Now he'd be expecting a few minutes, 10 minutes, something 10 minutes. Like that. Just let him, just stick him on, give him a little air. He might get a goal, a bit of confidence, and use him at the weekend then.
Nilo. Bordeaux, what are you hoping to see?
Smart as the same, innit? Yeah, simple.
Anyone you'd like to see start that hasn't been featured? Given the Coutinho injury, but we haven't covered the Coutinho injury.
If he's feeling his hamstrings, just leave him out, shouldn't we? And bring Ibe in, maybe it's the obvious replacement for him, I think, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe give Sturridge, I wouldn't start Sturridge, maybe give him a half an hour, 40, maybe the second half. But I suppose you can't use this as a training exercise either, can you, considering the Champions League at the end of it? So we have to win this game, so. As close to that team as we can get that started there the weekend.
Paul, anyone you rest?
Not specifically, no. I just think, you know, I'd like to see a bit more rotation, maybe, it doesn't have to be specific people, just like, you know, make sure that, like, take a 4-game block and just make sure not there's no players that are playing all of them. Yeah. Or 90 minutes and all four of them. Well, I don't know what to do with Sturridge. Like,
his hands are a bit tired though. At the back, especially.
Nah.
Well, Enrique's back in training.
Yeah. Is he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, like I was saying, I don't know what to do with Sturridge, because you don't know whether he's like about to break down or whatever. Like, you don't know if there's still something wrong with his knee, or if we should be saying no, he's completely fit. Like, you can throw him on for a good half or 60 minutes or whatever. Like, I don't know. I've no idea how to even approach Sturridge anymore.
Would you give Kleiner a rest?
But what? Yeah, like, what do you
seen as seen as you said he was shy.
I just thought he was poor enough on the ball at times. But who do you rest him for? Like, you know, it's a big game. Probably not. No, I think he's well able to play games anyway.
Yeah,
I think Moreno's young fella as well. He's well able to play games, but his hands are tired. Like, I don't know how many changes he can actually make that's not going to weaken the team too much. Like,
did you bring Alan in?
Lucas can't play at the weekend, so he's going to play midweek.
Would you give Chan
then
rest?
You play? Yeah, you could actually do that. You could play Alan and Lucas.
Yeah,
you know, play Milner. Milner's only back from he was missed out again.
And then
wouldn't be any harm
up top if given Coutinho's probably out. you'll probably, I'd imagine we'd start Benteke.
I would have thought so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. With, then Lallana and Firmino, keep them going.
I don't know, it's very hard to say really. It's very hard to say what he's going to do up front, whether that those three lads are just going to play predominantly away from home with that whole, that whole fluidity thing. Mm-hmm. I don't really know, to be honest. I can imagine, I can see Benteke starting, but that's directly
try
for Coutinho.
Give us a guess.
Benteke for Coutinho then.
Yeah.
Paul said I can't be specific, and you didn't say that to him.
With them obvious changes, with them obvious changes that you can kind of predict, like, it sort of seems to be taking a bit away from that performance, like, that they won't be able to reproduce it. Like, we all want to see them reproduce that at home now.
Yeah.
So, by removing Chan, he was a big part of that. And kind of like playing Benteke, who's going to change the style of the game altogether. You know, you sort of don't want that to happen.
Mm. And Coutinho particularly, who's the main man at the minute, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. And now lucky fucking sure.
No, you don't. I'd say he's probably going to miss a couple of weeks anyway. It looked like he'd done his hamstring as opposed to just a strain, because the way he sort of reacts in the challenge.
He was hobbling around after the match as well.
Yeah. So, like, you're not going
to... Well, the good thing that he just went and sat on the bench. He didn't go off for treatment. It didn't seem immediate, like, you know.
Yeah, he was having a great laugh at the end with Firmino on the bench. Yeah. Feeling we're breaking their bollocks laughing.
Hopefully sorry.
Yeah. So then, what do we reckon? We win?
Yeah, I think so. Nothing major. A narrow win, I'd say.
Narrow win. Andy?
Convincing win. I think, like, continue on that sort of the way... Just to build on that, defence has been improving, so keep improving and build on it and defend as a unit again. They shouldn't concede.
I think a win takes us through anyway because of the points differential then between us. So there'll be 7 points between us and whoever it is. What do you reckon, Nino? Have we been?
Yeah, and failed to be rocking flares and planes and all that shit.
I think we've been 2 or 3 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the players have, the players have to be, even the players that weren't involved, like the likes of Alan there, they'd be fucking buzzing, like, and they want to be a part of this.
You'd imagine
Alan and all, he's coming in against Swansea at the weekend, so he's going to, you know, he's...
Good point to let me go in. Let's go into Swansea. So, Swansea again at the weekend. Is Alan going to start?
Yeah, of course he is.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's Swansea at home is perfect for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Colo Torre did a stint in midfield.
That's what I was thinking.
did he impress?
He impressed me. But he always impresses me. I love Colo.
And Alan has to play, really, doesn't he?
Yeah, he'd be fine. I don't think, like, I mean, there's more than one way to play a holding defensive midfielder role. Like, you know, and I think Alan's well capable.
Actually, does Colo get a run against Bordeaux over Skirtle?
No.
Given Skirtle hasn't, like, Skirtle, I think Skirtle hasn't missed a match.
I don't know.
Yeah, he might do, he might do. But then, I'd be afraid to risk him, like...
Is it a bit of too much of an important game to be dicking about with the defence at the moment, though, I think?
I think, his hands are tired, like...
In terms of what he's doing. So, let's move on to this one. So, looking at it, so we'd imagine the changes then would be minimal in terms of from what we saw against City, yeah? Assuming that Coutinho does miss the game and Lucas is out, so we're saying Alan comes in and we're saying Benteke starts... It's a straight
swap.
Depends
entirely on how, if Sturridge gets a half and he scores a few goals, it's very hard to leave him out of the team then, isn't it? Because if you notice all the time he's given to Sturridge in his interviews as well, he's always saying how good he is, and he doesn't mention that about any of the other players.
The only thing I'll say to you is that looking at the way they brought Benteke back, where they gave him a few minutes, gave him, I think it was 30 minutes to start off with, then they gave him the second half of a match and then he started him. I can't see him just throwing Sturridge straight back in, despite what he's saying in the press that if he's fit enough, he's ready to go back in. And Klopp's own comments was that they want to make sure that he's robust enough. Like they were saying, he'd only had 4 days or whatever it was with full training, and then this gives him 10 days before the Bordeaux game, and then, you know, there's another whatever.
Yeah, he said something like he wants him to do 10 full training sessions or whatever before he's trusting him or whatever, doesn't he? So,
yeah.
I don't know when he's going to be thrown in. I've no idea how you approach that situation anymore. I already said it.
What was the last point?
I don't know.
10 sessions.
Yeah, he wants Sturridge to kind of do 10 training sessions, I think he said, before he's properly relying. All right, yeah, now I can kind of put you in the team and plan ahead. Like, so I've no idea how he approached putting Sturridge back in, because I don't know whether he's properly fit. Like he's all he needs is match sharpness, and you're looking at kind of giving him as much time or does he need to be eased back in?
Yeah.
I've no idea. Like,
I'd prefer to win a few games without him in the side and to be risking him. We're not depending on him now. We shouldn't be depending on him. And Tech is well able to score goals. And we've got another. We don't even have to play either of them. And we've proven now we can score some goals by unsettling teams.
Yeah. Taking that then, so look, I suppose there is a certain level of excitement with the idea of Sturridge being there, given the quality of true ball that you're going to get from Firmino and Coutinho. Like, that's the type of thing he's going to relish on when he's back, isn't it?
Yeah. I just hope he's able to
pick up where he
do it both ways. You know what I mean? There's someone in a better position, because he does like to score goals, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. But that's what you want from a centre forward.
Neil, and the thing about it is that, like, Lallana, Coutinho and Firmino, like, they're horrible to play against, because all three of them are after you, all three of them keep moving around. And so, like Sturridge, he does score goals, but you want him to try and get involved with that. You don't want to start thinking, all right, we can put Sturridge in, but this means that we're not going to be as good at, like, you know, unhinging defences. Like, when they have the ball, we're not going to be on top of them as much. Mm. Like, so you have to hope that he gets into it as well.
Okay, look.
You can do that at home, though. Like, you can drop out a midfielder. Like, they kind of, you know, the weekend, you'd kind of Milner, Chan and Lucas playing in midfield, like solely in midfield. You can drop one of them out and play Sturridge at home, and he can kind of stick up top, and then the three players in behind him, whether it's Firmino, Coutinho, Lallana, or whoever you want to change around there, can or Oib, you know, can still harass the opposition.
Do we have a fearfulness that, you know, Swansea's coming, Monk is under serious pressure, which is gas because he was best manager in the world this time last year, you know? And given the problems we had in breaking down, say, Crystal Palace, or teams that we still have this issue where teams that have been coming and parking the bus in front of us, we've struggled to score goals against them at Anfield. Against City, obviously, they're coming at us and they're leaving space for the lads to operate in and get 1v1s and 2v2s and put the pressure on them when to rob the ball high up the pitch. Is there a concern in your own mind that, you know, we might again struggle to break Swansea down if they decide to go safety force and not be as open and attacking as they normally are?
Well, that has to be a concern after the Crystal Palace match. I mean, if you're not concerned about it, there's something wrong with you. Mm. Leaving aside the performance of the weekend, which was fantastic, Swansea are going to come and sit back, aren't they?
Well,
I would imagine, because of the position they're in at the minute, the manager under pressure. I mean, it's a natural default, isn't it? So am I worried about us not being able to break them down? I'd be concerned about it, not worried, but do I think we'll beat them? Yeah, I do think we'll beat them, because it's just the belief that's around the place after what happened on the weekend. It's just gone. It changes the whole mindset of everything, you know.
This is classic sacking match. So, you know, there's already been the rumours going on. A good fucking hammering of Swansea would probably be the writing on the wall for Gary Monk. So, Paul, in your mind, are we going to stuff them?
I don't think we're going to stuff them. I think we'll beat them. I'd be wary. Like, I know it was a great performance against City, but I'd be wary of just thinking, all right, that's it, we've beaten City like 4-1, so we're going to do that to every team, because it doesn't work like that. Like, I think we'll beat Swansea. I don't know by how much, though, because I don't think sitting back is really their natural game either. So, like, even if they do try it,
would you be nervous of the threat that Jermaine Montero and IU pose down the flanks, the way Bolasie and the other fella off Crystal Palace, you know, they were basically just look to exploit the space because of
Montero especially. Actually, yeah, and I was like, his movement's really clever, like around the box. But like, we have to have. I think we've enough. I think we'll beat them.
Crystal Palace were a different proposition for me, anyway. Like, I was worried about them. Yeah, I thought we'd win, like, just because I'm a fan and that's it. But like, just looking at the match, how we are physically outclassed, bullied, like, you know what I mean. I don't think Swansea are really going to do that.
Nah.
I think we're well able to pull it up to them physically, and then if we get an early goal. Yeah, of course it could be an absolute bouncing, but the early goal has to come, because, you know, you don't want the doubts coming into the players' minds. You know, the last thing you really want is to concede first of all, but like, to be going in nil all at half time and then Swansea coming out with this belief that they're pulling off a result here in Anfield again.
Before we get on to scores then, anyone want to predict what John Joe Shelby's going to do?
Probably
behave himself, is he, at the moment?
Played for England, did he,
now
the weekend?
He played it. He scored a penalty.
He'd probably score one for both teams again, or something like that. Something stupid like that. Or an assist for both teams.
It'd be deadly if he does something.
He seems to have the mental games against us where, like, he'll score a screamer and then he'll do something absolutely ridiculous as well in the same game.
He always wants to get kind of make a statement.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think he feels like he was going. I think some people still up to about 3 weeks ago, there was people saying that Rodgers made a mistake letting him go.
Well, fairness to him, he's never bad-mouthed the club. Like, not like that Sterling fella.
I think he's a bit of class about him, actually. You know, the West Ham, remember the West Ham fans are slagging the bollocks out of him like when he was warming up for us. He's just laughing and,
We never did talk about Sterling. It was wonderful, wasn't it? Seeing his little fucking head being packed into every Liverpool defender shorts and saying, there you go.
Yeah, he nearly scored a few times as well at the same time. Would have been devastating if he did. Because it was what basically is what Sky Sports wanted, wasn't it? They just kept pushing. Martin Tyler, at about 25 minutes in, we were absolutely fingering the hole off Man City. Martin Tyler started trying to say it was because the players wanted to say, like, we're doing it as a fuck you to Sterling and all. He's like, shut up, will you just leave it out?
Yeah, we forget to mention that Milner actually played for them last season, you know.
Yeah.
Sterling doesn't give a bollocks. No. He doesn't care.
He's getting his money, isn't he?
Get 200 grand a week there. Happy fucking ass. Fuck you.
I thought he was terrible. Like, I thought there was a few occasions where he was just absolutely shit.
Yeah. I have relations with other City fans and they're not as overly impressed with Raheem Sterling as they thought they were going to be honest with you. That's their own.
His problem is De Bruyne signed at the same time for out to the same type of money. Yeah. That's the problem.
Well,
and he's miles straight ahead of him. You know what I mean?
Miles ahead in terms of development and the level of players. Right then, so finally, to round it up, what score are we going to hockey Swansea boy at the weekend?
Nil.
Okay, nil.
Two or three.
Paul. I'd say 2-0.
Right, then that's a wrap.
Hello, this is Ronnie Whelan here, and you're listening to Tripper Chats. Unbelievable stuff. You ask me anything about Liverpool FC, I will answer it immediately. I'm an encyclopedia. As you know, I played for Liverpool in the 1980s, won many trophies, played with the likes of Kenny Dalglish, Graeme Souness. Oh, what a team we were. We were just unbelievable. Anyway, Tripper Chats.
Okay, Tripper Chats, and Andy is in such an enthusiastic mood at this stage. On about 100 nights in a row at this stage. He's barely awake and he's after letting fucking rip here, and it's bleeding gagging the whole house. All right then, so we kick off here. Alex Barilero asks, what's the best lie, the bullshitting kind, you've ever heard? Nilo.
I don't know. I'm gonna give me a minute on that, will you?
All right, I'll come back.
Because I've heard a few fucking whoppers in me, mostly from you, Phil. The shite you were talking on that German Bundesliga podcast, that'd be more than me.
Strange, nobody seemed to guess the player I made up. Anyway, you, Polly, what's the best lie, the really bullshitting coin you've ever heard?
My dad had this mate that like was absolutely famous for coming out of shit, and I was thinking of him, like he must have one. And only you mentioned Germany, that he was driving through Germany before, like, you know, along the Autobahn or whatever. And they kept seeing, you know, these signs saying Ausfahrt, and that's like, it's the German for exit. And he's driving along, he goes, Ausfahrt, one of the biggest cities in Germany. And he starts spieling on, oh, they have this and that and all of that. And his dad's mates are all like, oh, yeah, Jesus, Phil, that's mad. That's, his name's Phil, by the way. That's mad. Apparently, he's just harping on for ages about the fucking, like, the economic status of Ausfahrt. Like.
Must be the biggest city ever. Every single road has an exit to Ausfahrt. Andy?
That's a similar one, actually, there. One of the lads that, you know, knocks around with us over the years, like, he'd be one of these, like, he'd blag at, like, you know, and he'd be pretending to be up on politics, especially Northern Irish politics, and they were filming from Balmore Studios this particular time, but didn't UTV fuck up the end of the thing, so it just said Balmore stood, and he just comes out and goes, oh, there's the fella that was talking. He goes, oh, there's Balmore Stud. He's been, you know, he started talking about, like, how he's been very influential in the last Balmore Stud. They're like, that's outside Balmore Studios. So he's being called Balmore since.
It's a great one. Right, Nilo, if you died and came back as a poltergeist, who would you want to hunt?
Oh, there's fucking loads of people. Yeah, I can think of one in particular, and I probably shouldn't say it for legal reasons. Well, Andy, Trev is still hunting all us to break, isn't he?
Well, allegedly so.
Allegedly
so. Anyone you'd want in particular you'd want to hunt?
Pat Nevin and Ray Gorgeous.
Just get at them.
Yeah.
With a hammer.
Yeah.
In a room. Yeah. Dark room. Yeah. Andy,
Nina asks, which of the current LFC players looks good enough to eat? I don't know why it was aimed at you in particular.
I don't know. Not Joe Allen, anyway.
There wouldn't be much eating in Joe Allen, was there?
No, because like, he's one of them vegans and all. He just tastes like cardboard.
There we go.
You just think it, like a big lump of celery or something. It'd be horrible if he got it's horrible. Come out of my face, Joe. You're disgusting. So yeah, not Joe, but the rest will be alright. I'm sure Chan's toy now will be lovely.
There's a fair bit of meat on Colo Torre as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Especially since he had to dump the diet pills.
I think he tastes a bit like horse meat though.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. He does look like a big horse. You know what I mean? Like horse's hind legs go up real high and all. Like, that's he looks like a horse.
Neil, this could have, how many days, nights in a row was your biggest bender?
Oh fucking hell, I went to Ibiza one time. I was out for 8 days and nights. My body started to shut down after that. I started getting back pain with my liver and all. I thought it was game over. I thought it was game over. Go to the hospital. I thought it was the end of the road. So I took 2 acid in the ambulance.
They're gonna go out in a high.
Sasha asks, what's your favourite punchline? Not the whole joke, just the punchline. I was thinking about this earlier. If you just say the punchline, it's just weird.
The bananas because biscuits don't have windows.
What?
Bananas because biscuits don't have windows. That's my favourite punchline.
Go on, you're going to have to tell us the joke then.
What's the difference between an apple and an orange? Bananas because biscuits don't have windows.
Fuck's sake.
Don't think that's a good joke now.
Edmund time. Oh yeah, I'm feeling this one. Double D, big foot breast on my baby. Big shout out again to the Astro Park for hosting us. We're back in the bunker and we're loving it. Get down here for all your 5-a-side needs. Imaginary 7-a-side or midget 7-a-side, whatever one you want to do. Find about www.astropark.ie. While Saint working you like this, he can't take care of you like this. Now you're lost. Also, big shout out for the Anfield Index apps. Get on that. That's all where all the podcasts are and all the future stuff that we're going to be doing is coming up. You'll also find all of Trev Downey's articles. And he is still doing a bit of writing while he can. So look, it's, you know, you already know how good his stuff is. So get on there, give it a read. There's lots of other good stuff. Sam McGuire, there's so many good writers on there. So many good podcasts coming out from the lads as well. So get it, download it, and listen away. And there's nothing really else left to plug. I think we have a winner on for the next 5 times tickets. Neil will throw that out on the Twitter feed soon enough. And after that, nope, nothing else coming up. We're nearly Christmas time, so we reckon that there'll be a certain donkey making his way back around here very soon. So your day trippers tonight, of course, were the inimitable Paul Brennan, Trevor Francis Gray, and of course Andy Young. The man with the story is a bit quiet tonight. He was a bit tired, so we're giving him a week off. And of course it was myself hosting, Phil Casey. Hopefully we've got Trev back soon enough, but I'll keep filling in as badly as I do in the meantime. Good night, God bless. Talk to you all next week.
The remix. Felipe Coutinho, and Bobby Firmino. Felipe Coutinho. Edmund time.
bit of Frankie Ocean. We're all a bit lost at this stage.
I'm trying to record the fucking intro and outro. What do you want?
I'm going in the shop. Does anybody want that?
There's nobody here.
I
was in the middle of me funky admin, you bollocks, you.
Yeah, you want a coffee?
Yeah, go on, get us a coffee, right?
What do you want?
Give me an Americano, yeah?
Americano. Milk?
A bit of milk, 3 sugars.
Cool.
Good man. Talk to you in a minute. Good luck.
Give us a shot. Put it on, Paul.
Where did you get the caravan?
Look at the white beater up.
Jesus.
24 hours left.
Oh, that's fucking dead.
And the fucking space.